Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
Sammy Hagar, what a great song.
Happy birthday to Sammy.
How old?
74 today.
Sammy Hagar is 70. You're a Dave guy, right, if I remember correctly?
I'm a Dave guy. These guys are all so old now. It's depressing.
My sister's 74, really too, is. Today. Congrats.
Great movie. Did you ever watch that movie?
I never have.
You haven't?
No.
Came out in the 80s. It was. It's like a cartoon movie, but it's a great movie. I think it was rated R, if I remember correctly. Heavy Metal. Great movie. Oh. You'd love it. You'd love it.
I think I've seen that movie.
I think you would remember if you'd seen it.
It's animated, right?
Animated, yeah. Yeah. Was I wrong for calling it a cartoon film? I mean, animated is the term to use there. Courtney, you were not born till 10 to 15 years after that film came out. You had no idea.
Speaking of movies, though, new Scream trailer has dropped and looks great.
Don't you love the Scream movies, if I remember correctly?
Yeah.
Look, it does look good. The trailer does look good.
Looks pretty good.
This is Stewie from Cape Cod. What's up, Stewie?
All right. Well, let me go back a few years when I called in and I told the Big O when we got Kyrie Irving that chemistry was an issue and that wouldn't work out. and I ended up calling him a dinosaur before I hung up. Haven't called back yet. I want to say I love the show. I think Wiggy was a fantastic addition. Yeah. Wiggy, you're the man.
I used to think
you were a little dumb as stumps. Let me tell you, your perspective, you have more life experience than most people do, and I just want to say I appreciate your perspective on a lot of things.
So you're saying, do you agree with Wiggy on Kyrie Irving when it comes to his stance currently on the vaccination?
No, of course I don't. Okay. I think that we should get a big vax rally going on for the non-vaxxers. I think they should all get together. My biggest problem here is I hear the other night that a woman did not get allowed into the New York hospital, a pregnant woman who was vaccinated, because all these non-vaxxers are getting the COVID and taking all the hospital beds. Uh-huh.
But, Stewie, game two, Erod, Hauk, or Pavetta, Stewie?
Ooh, good question.
Why can't we group them all together? Let's get all these non-vaxxers. How many lives has the vaccination killed? Does anybody have a number on that?
I think it's hard to get that information.
But that information is so minuscule. Now, how many lives has COVID killed?
How many people have died of boredom? I don't even, like, because people run out of things to watch.
All I'm saying is he's making a bad choice for his family. Get the damn vaccine and
Kyrie
save
Irving,
lives.
So Kyrie Irving is making a bad decision for his
family. Anybody who isn't getting a vaccine, I don't care what they say about it. It's a conspiracy theory. Unless you have a medical underlying condition or you've had it, like you and Wiggy. I can understand that. You guys got the immunos for it or whatever. But other than that, you're just a conspiracy theorist, and basically you're an idiot. This is what happened with the last election. See, everybody who wanted Trump, idiot. You know, it's like the half of the world decided they were stupid. How could you vote? You know what I mean? You voted for Trump the second time. The first time, okay, I did it. I'm so sorry. I did it. I didn't want Hillary. And then next thing you know, Trump's in office.
Interesting poll here. Belichick running away with it. Who's the best coach / manager in Boston? Belichick with 71% of the vote. Alex Cora second with 23%. And Stewie coming in third.
Is Stewie the Revs guy?
Yeah, Bruce Arena guy.
All right.
Can't talk about vaccines, boy. Woo! It's politically charged, man.
It is, Wiggy.
People get, I tell you, boy, you start talking
about. Nice job, Wiggs.
I mean, they start.
Good lead.
Well, you know what? My lead was about Kyrie. I can't help that.
Well, you can't even bring it up if it relates to sports.
No. No. People get butthurt, man.
Ken, I got in a lot of trouble when I brought it up with sports and Kyrie.
Ken goes into the fetal position.
I've seen the ratings. I know what a zero looks like.
Oh. Right. So you analyze the rate. What is this? This is interesting.
When we talk vaccines, people check out.
Really?
That's what the ratings say.
Boss Man Led wants to silence us.
That's science.
Huh.
Silence us. That's what Boss Man.
No, go ahead. Keep talking about it.
No, I'm just. It's,
no, no, no.
No, no, no. Silence. No. Silence another brother.
Let's do it again.
You want to silence us, which I'm not going to do.
Silence another brother. It's not like there's a lot of us who haven't been silenced over the years.
Hey, Kyrie isn't talking, Wiggy. You realize that, right?
No,
you
I'm, say talking, he's using to, his I'm voice. Talking to Boss Man Led right now. I will run my leads by you every day. For your approval.
Just do what Courtney does and steal my lead.
Oh, come on.
Oh.
I did not steal it. That was shocking to me.
Gotta run it by Ken.
So no Kyrie Irving. No, can we talk about Al Horford and Jaylen Brown?
Nope.
Both isolating with the vaccine?
You can do whatever you'd like to do. There's a cause and effect.
Wow, that just sounded so much like my mom.
Can we talk about Megan Thee Stallion and her sausage toes, or no?
Ooh, I think that gets the people
going.
That
well. That was a great
rating. I think you can. I'd put a 14, according to Ken.
Did you see what Lizzo wore last night to Cardi B's birthday?
I did see what Lizzo wore.
She was naked.
I'm not wrong with that.
I know.
She's
more
of age.
Power to her.
Showing off. You should be celebrating.
I am. That's what I'm saying. She looked great.
Out there, she's letting it all hang out, front and
that
back.
That dress, do you know how much that dress cost?
No, I don't know.
It's like $1,800 for that dress. Yep.
Oh, Cardi B's birthday. That's right. She did turn 29. Big Red Sox fan, Cardi B.
Really?
Didn't know that.
And Lil Wayne.
All right. Well, speaking of the Red Sox, we will talk with Nathan Eovaldi coming up in about 20 minutes or so. And we'll talk a little puck talk tomorrow. Bruins Thursday at WEEI. And then Patriots Friday with Devin McCourty on this show at 6:30. Quick reminder that if you cannot listen to it for whatever reason on the radio, then you can stream it at WEEI.com. Or you can download the Odyssey app and listen to us from wherever you are.
This hour of the Greg Hill Morning Show brought to you by Audi Norwell.
Come on. So everybody's living it up. To everybody that be living it up, we say. So everybody's living it up. Come on, baby, this is your typical everyday one night thing. It's a physical. I'ma love you tonight, gang. Calling your name, put your phone in the range and roll over. I just really wanted to hold you. Time get to know you. That's a good chick. Before it's all over, I'ma meet this chick. Probably treat this chick more better. Cause if you ain't, no, thugs and ladies go together. Popping my collar, partner, who in the spot? Baby, ruling the spot. In the mug, in the watch. Half of y'all hate.
Coming up, Nathan Eovaldi on this morning's show. And then Gresh and Keefe at 10. And this is, I'm worried about this call because they're saying that Wiggy is nuts. Ken, should I take that call from Joe? Where do you stand on the approved topic list? Should I take Joe's call and see what he thinks
Your
Wiggy
show,
is nuts
Greg,
about?
You do what you want.
Hello, Joe?
Hello, guys.
What's up, Joe?
Wiggy, I got a question, Wiggy. You were on this radio station not too long ago about if there was a football player, a teammate of yours that didn't get the vaccine, and you guys all had to sit out, and they would be messing around with your paycheck, mm-hmm. you would be pissed off at that person, right?
Yeah, because he's messing with my money.
Right, right. So Kyrie Irving is kind of doing – if Kyrie Irving was your teammate, right,
mm-hmm.
and it was the same rules as it goes for the football teams here, how would you feel about Kyrie Irving then if you were his teammate? Would you be mad at Kyrie Irving
he would
with Cole Beasley?
Yeah, but you're in the NFL, it's different. In the NFL, your whole team can lose out on money if a guy starts a super spreader.
Mm-hmm.
In the NBA, his teammates don't have to worry about him losing money. He just can't play. If the NFL rule was you couldn't play when we had to go to certain locations or you couldn't play at home games, hey, I got no problem with that. You ain't messing with my money. That's the difference between the NBA and the NFL and the Kyrie Irving situation. In the NFL, you are directly affecting my money.
Don't you think it would directly affect the money of the other players if they're on a worse team?
No, guys are still getting paid. I don't have to worry about week in and week out not having a paycheck.
What about postseason? Isn't there a certain bonus that comes with?
Yeah, there's a little bit of a bonus.
Okay, so what happens if you end up being trash and you're missing one of your key players?
That's different though. When you're talking about Cole Beasley and some of those other guys in the NFL, the guys that didn't get vaccinated, if it came to find out that it was because of one of those unvaccinated players that there was an outbreak, both teams would lose money. So that's different. Kyrie's situation is he ain't affecting nobody's money. The only money he's affecting is himself. That's it. And I got no problem with that. I got no problem with a player doing things that they feel like is best for themselves. Now, is it hurting the team because you lose a good player? Yeah, but I ain't going to look at you sideways and judge you for that.
Do you think his credibility is hurt based on the flat earth argument?
No.
No.
No, because I think there are a lot of people out there that
when
earth
it comes
is flat.
To his knowledge with regard to science, do you think he's damaged at all by that opinion? No.
No, no. I mean, there are people, like I said, who think the earth is flat.
Well, people we don't listen to those people, Wiggy. That's the point.
I don't mean, I don't know. That's their opinion. If they think the earth is flat, so be it.
You know who's going to find out is William Shatner in about 40 minutes or so when he's blasted into space. Is Bezos going with Shatner today, or is it just Shatner?
No, Wally Funk is on board. She's in control of the boombox.
That's the... That is the collective oldest space journey, Wally Funk and...
Well, Wally Funk is not on board today.
She should be.
No. I mean, Lord
set
knows.
A record.
She's probably a huge Star Trek fan. She probably loved Captain Kirk when she was growing up. Lord
he was
knows
a ladies'
what,
man.
Lord knows what they would do in space, just the two of them.
Also, I think going to space is very hard on your body. So Wally Funk going up and down at 84, I think she got what she wanted. She should stay put on Earth right now, I think. Mm-hmm. If I'm William Shatner, I'm a little bit nervous about my body, my mind, my spirit going into space.
Well, tomorrow, CNN's reporting that Dale and Ordway are going to go to space to get the new record of all those people to orbit the Earth.
You shut up.
And he's a ladies man, so him and Wally Funk up that high. Mile High Club.
Smurlis, Deossi, and Glenn are going to do the real post-game show this Sunday from the moon.
Don't break a hip.
Do you think there will come a point where space travel is similar to air travel?
Yes.
Where you decide for the weekend, you have a long weekend, you want to go to Mars or something? You do?
Yeah.
And we're going to have to wear masks underneath our helmets.
I think after
space force. Mask in the middle of this, we can just do the conversation.
I think after looking at that Forbes
he's
list.
He's trying to trick her, Ken. I can't take it anymore. What?
All the billionaires on that Forbes list, there's enough money in the world to make sure that there's enough, you know, spacecrafts to bring up people that want to go.
Yeah.
It'll be a heavy price for a ticket, but that's in our future.
I think that's going to be the problem. How long is it going to take it to be affordable?
Yeah.
It's not like at some point JetBlue is going to be offering a $49 flight to Venus.
Yeah, probably not.
But there's no purpose of going up there.
Yeah.
Like when you go somewhere, like if you're going to the Caribbean, there's a purpose. You're going to enjoy the beaches. If I'm going to space, where am I going? There's no purpose.
It's much like people who drive around to look at the foliage. Wouldn't you want to go to space just to look at Earth from space?
Right, but even when you're driving around looking at the foliage, you can pull over and say, oh, let's get out here. We can
have a beer.
We can go on the top of a mountain or something. We can get a nice picture. You could do space, you just go up there. They're not letting you out. If they're going to, like, you know, what is it, tether? Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Tether me to, like, some type of contraption, and I can go out and I can kind of, like, float around in the atmosphere. All right, maybe I'll try
that.
So
if there's like a restaurant up there, maybe.
Yeah, a space restaurant.
Yeah.
There's a strip club up there.
All right. It is time for us to get to Ken and what is trending this morning.
The exclusive home of Red Sox baseball. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, trivia back at the Nines. Visit the 99 restaurant every Thursday night in the bar. 59-cent bone-in wings. Play trivia for a chance to win the 99 gift cards and other great prizes. The 99, always the real deal. Nathan Eovaldi, we believe, coming up shortly here, Greg. 9:30 or 9:40 this morning. The Ace will be on. Game one is going to be in Houston, and that's 8:07 p.m. Friday night. It will be the Astros, of course. They clinched it yesterday. We're going to have Steve Peralta in studio Friday. Looking forward to that, 9 o'clock hour.
Stevie P, is there an advantage when it comes to managers?
I think it's Cora. He knows how they cheat. And if needed, he knows how to cheat against them.
No, he's not going to do that. Any first pitch expectations? Oh, I think Beyonce.
Wow.
She's never done it.
Thrown out a first.
She has something to do with Houston?
Yeah, she's from there.
Houston. Oh, she is. Huh.
Oh, we're not going to get on Greg for not knowing that Beyonce's from Houston?
What's Greg?
Why
Greg,
would anyone know that Beyonce Greg is from
Houston? Well, I got in trouble for Dr. Dre. She talks about it all the time in her songs.
But I expect your knowledge to be better about that. Greg is like, he probably don't even know who Beyonce is.
I know exactly who she is.
If you said Tom Petty, he'd be like, oh, yeah, okay.
She's Mr. Jay-Z. Mrs. Jay-Z, whatever she is.
Well, Houston, right near NASA. Maybe they could have somebody from NASA throw.
What about Roger
pitch?
Clemens? Roger Clemens.
Ooh. Now they have to break out your boy, Nolan Ryan.
Nolan Ryan. Oh, there's a jinx scenario. Is Nolan Ryan all right?
I think so. But okay. Clemens makes total sense to have a whole cheater theme. That'd be awesome. All right, Patriot of the Week has got to be Nick Folk because he won Special Teams Player of the Week. AFC Special Teams Player of the Week for the kicker.
Interesting note that Ken will omit NFC Offensive Player of the Week, Tom Brady.
We're out of time. Nathan Eovaldi soon.
It's the Greg Hill Morning Show.
I will be listening.
Be curious, not judgmental.
On WEEI.
From now, William Shatner set to become the oldest person ever to blast into space on the Bezos rocket at 90 years old. And he will bring with him the homemade Star Trek toys that Bezos made as a young man, a young child, and then kept all these years.
Weird.
Is that odd?
Yeah, that's odd.
No, if he was a huge star, it seems like he was a huge Star Trek fan, and that was like a huge television show for people.
Okay, but do you have anything homemade or otherwise that you had as a child that
I'm
you kept as an adult?
Well, I'm still looking for my B.A. Baracus action figure from the A-Team. Trying to find that thing. That was one of my favorite.
Where are you looking for it? Where would it be?
I don't know. I'm checking all storages and everything.
I have a Dickie Thon autographed baseball card.
Mr. T had all the gold on. He had it. He was in his like overall jumpsuit. I used to carry that thing around with me everywhere.
I hope they have the same play-by-play lady who did the Bezos flight. She was very excited during that. We need that excitement for Shatner. Yeah.
Well, she's excited because Bezos pays her. And so I don't know if she'll be as excited today as she was when her supreme leader was blasting into space, but maybe she was.
Bezos may be buying the Washington team after this investigation's done.
It's
so
possible, yeah.
He can be one of the NFL owners.
I guess it's possible. Does he want to be an NFL owner? They I know he talks about it.
Yeah.
You think he's?
I thought I heard him and then Jay-Z would kind of be partners with him. So
yeah. I mean, I think that at some point the NFL would like to have Jay-Z as an owner, right?
They'd like a they would definitely like a black owner.
Yeah. Isn't Jay-Z part of some type of committee for the NFL right now?
The halftime
show. The party planning committee.
Yeah, he, technically it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
It's a great job to have.
It is a party planning committee. I said no to the Super Bowl.
By the way, if Bezos bought at their current value all NFL teams, he would still have like $130 billion left over.
Not bad.
That is insane.
It's time for Blue Origin's first human flight. Godspeed, first crew of New Shepard. Let's light this candle.
Ooh, how did Bezos allow God to be mentioned?
Only up there. Shatner's only going to be up there for a couple minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it's not.
Well, I don't know what. I mean, then he's going to get out and say something from the television program, right? I mean, right. That's the whole point of having
Well, no,
him
he's going to say before he goes, beam me up, Scotty.
I plan to be looking out the window with my nose pressed against the window. The only thing I don't want to see is a little gremlin looking back at me.
Okay. I'm like, the guy doesn't have a prostate issue. Like, how's he going to go to the bathroom up there? Well, that happens when you get old, Curtis.
He's probably wearing
Depends.
Yeah, but wasn't he like a ladies' man back in the day?
He was a ladies' man.
I bet his prostate is strong.
Oh. I don't know.
But it is.
I mean, could be. Maybe he's gonna be the first man to use Viagra in space.
What they should have did is took them all up there.
Having a lot of sex makes your prostate strong.
Captain Kirk, Will Shatner, mm-hmm. George Takei. I believe he's still alive, right?
I think
the black lady's still alive.
This is a giant jinx conversation right now.
I forget what the black lady's name is.
Robin.
No, that's Robin Quivers.
Scotty is not. With us anymore.
Spock isn't with us anymore.
Leonard Nimoy is not with us anymore. Yes. That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, he still could take a few. Who was the guy that looked like he should have been in the group The Monkees?
Mutt?
There was another guy. There was another guy there. He looked like he was in the group The Monkees, but I can't remember which one he was. He wasn't Scotty.
What? I don't know.
If you never watched
about.
Star Trek.
I did watch Star Trek, no.
He had his crew. Yeah. The one he always used to go places with.
Yeah. His posse.
It's going to be an 11-minute flight.
Right.
That's
just
it?
11 minutes.
11 minutes.
And it seems that seats go for $450,000 a person.
Well, they didn't make Shatner pay.
Right, of course not. But
I mean,
that's how much.
He got the comp flight, I would assume, for publicity purposes.
Yes, of course.
James Doohan, you're Scotty, you're right.
Yeah, no, Scotty passed away. That's not who you're talking about, though, right?
Yeah, that's who I was talking about. Scotty's gone. He is gone.
All right. Coming up in just moments, we got the word here. Nathan Evaldi will join us in just a few moments.
Correct. 9:40.
Okay. Excellent. Talk baseball, talk Red Sox with Nathan Evaldi. I mentioned tomorrow morning it is Bruins Thursday on this show and at this radio station. We will do that throughout this NHL season. So Mike Milbury tomorrow morning during the 8 o'clock hour and Andrew Razor Raycroft during Gresh and Keefe. And Jack Edwards with Christian and Lou tomorrow on a Bruins Thursday here at WEEI.
Yeah, I know. Back to the Greg Hill Show on Sports Radio WEEI. Yeah, for myself.
Right now on the Red Sox station and on the Harbor One hotline, it is Nathan Evaldi of the Boston Red Sox. Hey, Nate, thanks for being on this morning.
Hey, how y'all doing? Can y'all hear me okay?
We can hear you great. We don't want to, I know you pitchers have odd routines. Are we interfering with that in any way, shape, or form? Is there something that you would rather be doing to get ready?
No, I'm good.
All right, good. From your perspective, which felt better, last Tuesday against the Yankees or the series win over the Rays?
Man, I mean, every time you advance, it feels better and better. Winning that elimination game against the Yankees, the energy that we had in the crowd, that was a really special moment. And then I think everybody still was counting us out against the Rays, so it felt, the feelings are both good once you win. So hopefully we can keep that going.
Speaking of Fenway, has it been the loudest that you've ever heard this last week and a half here?
It really has. I don't know if that's, dealing with COVID last year, the struggles that we had and just all the fans really coming together now, being able to support us through the run right now. But, man, the energy we had against the Yankees game, it's carried over, and I think that shows, we've been able to clinch both series at home, and I think that's the first time since 13, because in 18, I know we clinched all the games on the road. So to be able to celebrate in front of our fans and, just give them the thanks and from all the support that they've been giving us, it's been awesome.
Being the ace on this team, how much pressure do you put on yourself when you go out there every start? I mean, you look like you're super locked in. So is there a lot of pressure you put on yourself, or do you kind of go, you know what, I'm going to go out there and do what I do?
I try to go out there and do what I do. I know there's going to be a lot more pressure, especially, in the wild card game and the third game against the Rays that I threw. There's a lot on the line, but I think it's the energy again from the atmosphere, from the fans, just knowing what's at stake. It really locks me in more, I think, and I'm able to go out there and execute my pitches a lot better, as opposed to a regular season game. There might be those times where you might slip up. You're trying to go all nine innings. Now there's really no chance that we're going to go nine innings. We're trying to go through the lineup two times through six innings. Try to be perfect through the lineup twice. And, if AC wants to leave me out there at that point, I'm more than happy to keep taking the ball out there. But, I'm expecting him to take us, be done. We're going to be done by the sixth inning. And, I think there's two sides to look at it. Hopefully you're only around 70, 80 pitches at that point, and you're not at 100. So hopefully you'll be able to go the next day and be able to help the guys out of the bullpen, similar to what Pivetta's been able to do for us.
Speaking of pressure, a lot of people put a lot of pressure on Heim Bloom at the trade deadline. A lot of people thinking he didn't have enough confidence in this team that they could go all the way. Obviously, you guys are looking great in the postseason. In the clubhouse, did players feel that at all?
I'm sure, I think we were a little frustrated that we didn't make more moves, but picking up the guys that we did, Schwarber was a huge pickup. We got Robles, who's been huge for us on the stretch. Same with Davis. Schwarber, I think, has been the biggest one so far. The energy that he's been able to bring into the clubhouse on a day-in, day-out basis, and just once we finally got to the playoffs, we all clicked again. We had that same feeling at the beginning of the season, kind of before the trade deadline, and then we had our struggles at the deadline, and we ran into the COVID issues as well. Everything kind of hit us all at once, and once we kind of got separated from each other dealing with the COVID, everybody kind of came back and we got hot again. It was, it was almost like the game was taken away from us and nobody liked that. And we kind of had that same feeling going into Washington. It came down to those last three games and we were able to come out on top with the big sweep of Washington, and we were able to take home field advantage for the Yankees. And I think once we got home, and again, with the electricity from the fans and the energy in the stadium, That really sparked us, and now we've been playing extremely good baseball.
I know you guys talk about thriving a little bit when it comes to those who haven't believed in this team. I have to admit, I was one of them. But also, do you guys get energy also, or are you in some way, shape, or form, are you playing as a team for Alex Cora and his redemption, if you want to use that word, in baseball?
Yeah. It's a tricky one, because I feel like as if we're playing with a little bit of a chip on our shoulder, because everybody was doubting us throughout the entire season. Us as a team, we knew the talent we had coming into spring training, and then especially having AC come back, it gave us that even more confident. He doesn't waver as a manager. It's just, he's locked in from the first game on. It seems like he's always, maybe 2 weeks ahead of everybody else, whether it's the planning of the rotation, how we're going to use everybody, the opponents that we're facing. He's, the amount of knowledge that he has and the way he prepares for the games and for us to win, I feel like that's what makes him such a good manager. He's prepared to make all those moves. And then players wise, even with AC, we talked about at the very beginning of spring training, we know, don't let the outside noise in. You're going to have good, you're going to have bad. Obviously the guys want to hear everybody talk about us when we're playing well, but you don't want to hear anybody talk bad about you. Sometimes it's a different perspective. It's you'll be out there playing, and you know we feel like we're playing better than the way you know take the first game in, against Tampa, for example. When we lost that first game, we were confident. You know, we were squaring balls up. We were hitting balls hard. The walks got to us as on the pitching side of it, and they were able to capitalize on the walks. And then we were squaring up balls, and they were going right to people, and they were already saying, you know, the Rays were going to take it in three, and they were going to roll right through us. And we came out game two, and Sale had his struggles at the beginning of the game, but Houck was able to come in after him and, you know, really pick up Sale, and we were able to add runs and battle back, and we came back and won that game, and then we won the next two in Boston.
Do you ever, like, get – I want to kind of get into the mind of the athlete. As a former athlete, I remember we'd always say, avoid the noise. But it's human nature as a player that you just think about it. So, like, when a guy like E-Rod is getting ready to take the mound and there's a lot of negativity going on, talked about him, do you ever give him advice? Because I know you dealt with some of that where as far as people saying, can you stay healthy? Do you ever give him advice on how to handle those situations?
Eddie, for example, no. You know, he's been around long enough. He's experienced. He's a good veteran. He, you know, he's gone through adversity and he's had to battle with all this stuff. So he knows how to handle it. I've talked to some of the other guys, you know, some of the younger guys coming up, just, you know, about relaxing in this moment. You know, we're playing the same game. Obviously, there's more intensity behind it and more meaning behind these games. But it comes back down to the basics. And that's just, you know, on the pitching side of it, it's getting ahead in the count, staying ahead in the count, not giving up free bases. You know, we talk about it all the time. You don't want to give up a leadoff walk. You really don't want to give up a walk any time during an at-bat. There's certain times where you pitch accordingly, you know, around a player that's hot. But for the most part, you're just going out there and doing your thing. And again, it's the same game, but just a lot more intensity out there.
We talked about Alex Cora's connection to Houston, but you're from the area. I know when you were in high school, you played tournaments at Minute Maid Park, and the Astros were interested in signing you at some point. For you going back there to kick this thing off, is there a special connection there? Does that add another layer of this for you?
I think so. You know, anytime I get to play in Houston, it's a special moment for me. Just with it being so close to home, I'll have a lot of family and friends out there, and you know, they're already texting, asking for tickets and things like that. I'm like, I don't even know when I'm pitching yet, you know? So I think it adds a little bit more of excitement for me. And, you know, of course, it allows me to go out there and hopefully focus and do even better.
So you haven't been told that you're starting game one yet?
No, I haven't been told anything yet. But, I mean, at this point, you know, we're not really told many much. It's, you lock in as if you're prepared to throw every day. You know, and I think that's the beauty of the playoffs. You know, you don't have to go out there and practice every day and, you know, throw bullpens, play catch all the time because your mind just really doesn't shut off. You know, during the season, you know, you're throwing once every fifth day, right? You know, so you can kind of relax a little bit every now and then. But when the playoffs are going, it's almost like you're locked in from as soon as you wake up to when you go to bed. You know, at night I'm going to bed, I'm exhausted mentally and physically, so.
Well, never mind the Houston area. I mean, you've been here long enough. You can consider yourself a true masshole at this point. I mean, you know, complain about the weather, complain about the traffic. You know how it goes.
You're right. Weather's been beautiful out here lately.
Yeah, it has.
Can't complain about that.
And Verdugo has been speaking about playing in Boston with glowing reviews. What's the best part about playing for this fan base, in your opinion?
The fans. You know, we get to come into this stadium every day. You know, it's a unique ballpark, beautiful. And then we have the fans, you know, and I think that's the best part. Everybody's seen our struggles in 2020, dealing with COVID, and it was tough to play in the stadium with no fans, or even just like the little bit that we had. And I know I'm pretty sure I pitched that first game back this year when we had full capacity, when the Marlins were in town. And, I mean, again, the energy and everything running through the stadium and just the vibes, even around town, like driving into the field, especially now. You know, the other day I drove in on my start day. I left 20 minutes earlier than I normally do. And, you know, traffic was already starting to pile up on the streets. And, you know, it's just everybody walking around the stadium and you just have that vibe, seeing all the jerseys running around, everything. It's awesome.
Hey, Nathan, prior to your start in Game 3 of the 2018 LCS against the Astros, Bregman trolled you on Instagram showing the back-to-back home runs they hit in June of that season. Is there a team? I mean, do you hate this team more than any other team in baseball, even though the Yankees are kind of the rival? I mean, they seem to rub everybody the wrong way.
Yeah, I mean, they have a tendency of rubbing guys the wrong way. I mean, I don't necessarily hate any team, but, you know, they're not high up on my list. But, I mean, hey, it happens. You know, I give up three homers back to back to back, but
you won, you know, game
we were
three.
Able to come on. We were able to come out on top that, you know, that series, and hopefully we're going to be able to do it again this time.
Nathan, what is it about Alex Cora that it seems like players that play for him would be willing to run through a brick wall and willing to do whatever? You know, it's hard to find coaches like that in all sports that you feel like, this guy, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to help this guy and the team win. What is it about him?
Yeah, I mean, he's always calm, cool, and collected. You know, and starting back in spring training, we always talk about family. You know, we as players sacrifice a lot not being with our personal families. So when we're around each other, it has to be like a family. And he does a really good job of making us feel that way. And you know, everybody feeling well around each other. There's really no groups at the field. We're all one big giant group, and we enjoy being around each other and being together. And I think that goes to show the way he leads us. Again, going back to staying calm, cool, and collected, if we do start to struggle, he's able to, you know, right the ship and get us back on track. And, you know, it's usually a simple fix. Kind of the second game against the Rays when we were at home and we were at their place and they'd scored two and then they answered back with five. You know, he was going up and down the dugout saying, hey, we got three more. We need to score three more runs in eight innings. We got this. You know, there's no pressure. And you break it down that way. And, you know, if we can't score three runs in eight innings, especially with our offense, that's going to be very surprising. And as opposed to, you know, him saying nothing or just staying down at the front of the dugout and letting us come back in, try to do our thing, he sparked us and got us going again. And we were able to keep chipping away, and we were able to come back and win that game.
Nathan Eovaldi's our guest. And any of your superstitions different when it comes to a playoff start?
No, you know, I'm actually one of the few pitchers I feel like I don't really have many superstitions. I'll have my routine once I get to the field that I like to stay with, but that usually starts like 4:30 or 5 o'clock. But leading up until then, I really don't have any superstitions. You know, I'll switch up my breakfast. I don't wear the same outfits to the field all the time on start days or things like that. But once we once we get to the field and I have my routine, I'll head to the training room probably around like 4:30, 5 o'clock just to get some work done, get ready for that start that night.
When JD hurt his ankle, it was reported mm-hmm. that it was because of a superstition. So has there been something said in the clubhouse to maybe lay off the superstitions this go around?
I think JD might be done with that superstition about jumping on the bag. It was such a freak accident. Fortunately for us, you know, everything timed up to where he'd have enough time to, you know, kind of get that ankle taken care of. And our training staff, again, they've been outstanding for us all year. I mean, you look at the starting pitchers, I think we've had seven total this year, and none of our starters had gotten hurt. They just got moved to the bullpen, you know, and I think that says a lot about our training staff and the way we manage the team. And you know, for them to be able to help JD out and get him taken care of and be able to, I mean, it was bad. Yeah, he had a really bad, you know, injury, and he was able to grind through it and participate and definitely helped us out big time with that offense and the at-bats and everything he has up there at the plate.
Nathan, I know you had said when you were a free agent, you had interest in the Sox and the Astros, but Houston really didn't show any interest. Do you hold any grudge for that?
No, not really. I mean, I think... especially being in these moments before, you want to be with the team that wants you the most. You know, it means that much more to you. In 17 and 18, when the Rays had reached out for me, and you know, they took a big chance on me and, you know, signed me back when I had my second Tommy John. You never know how guys are going to recover from that. And they took that chance in me to rehab me and get me back. And then then the Red Sox were able to make that trade and get me over here. And again, you know, when a team puts that belief in you and that gives you that confidence that, you know, they expect you to get the things done and they're going to be able to rely on you, it means a lot to you as a player.
All right. Well, a couple sleeps and then Friday we'll be here. And my suspicion is that you'll be pitching game one, but I don't want to assume that, but, and then back at Fenway. And that's, as you said earlier, that crowd That Fenway crowd has made a difference for you guys this year, correct?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, having them have our backs and having that energy go out there, I mean, I think it's been surprising a lot of the teams coming in, and it's been good for us.
Electric.
Right. There you go.
Yeah, electric. We'll keep it going. Nathan Evaldi, thanks for joining us, and good luck, and we'll hopefully talk to you again soon.
Go Sox.
All right, thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Nate Evaldi, brought to you by National Lumber. Wait till you see them, and we got to get out of here. Good dude, though.
Yeah. Great. We should have him on all the time.
Oh, that's, you know, these guys are busy, Courtney.
I know, but they have a lot so going is Devin McCourty. There. We got they him.
Have, it seems like, Courtney, we might have to move you up to management, like come with the idea, see if you can make this happen.
Yeah, I think once a week.
Uh-oh, Wiggy Ken rivalry brewing. I like it.
That's right.
I got Ray Croft on speed now.
We got to go. Gresh and Keefe is next. Thank you for listening. Back tomorrow morning at 6 on a Bruins Thursday here at WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.